This conference is being recorded.
All right, so I think you guys probably heard that this conference is now being recorded. And that little beep, beep that you just heard is someone star sixing their phone, which I'd invite all of you to do as we start out the call. If you press star six, that will mute you here at the beginning of the call where I'm just kind of introducing things and sharing, and then we will open up the lines for your questions and your own personal stories, and at that point you can star six again to unmute yourself, and that function just helps to keep background noise to a minimum so that others aren't distracted and also so that our recording function works well for those who are listening to this as a download from the internet. So welcome, whether you have joined us tonight live on Tuesday, November 12th, 2007, or if you're listening to this some point in the future. Isn't that amazing? With technology, we can actually talk to someone in the future. I'm continually in awe of the opportunities that have opened to us as human beings in such a short time, just with technology alone. Some of those opportunities are part of what keep me in business, however. As some of you may know, tonight is a Heart Start to Your Week call. It's a gift that we give back to the community. My name is Sheva, and I'm the CEO of a company called Fiera. And Fiera is that great feeling you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes flies out of your mouth. It's really the opposite of stress. And based on 17 years of scientific research by the Institute of Heart Math, Fiera has a step-by-step proven technology and system of tools developed by Heart Math, which we teach individuals, organizations, and even nations to reverse the negative effects of stress and experience more Fiera. So that's why I say technology keeps me in business at times, because we just take it for granted that technology will work, and when it doesn't, they call me. Emails don't work, and phones, and all these technologies that we've developed, from washing machines to Xerox machines that were designed to make our lives easier and more efficient, many people are finding have made their lives a little more complex and high speed. And so it goes right to the crux of and the essence of, in some ways, what the call tonight will be about, because our ability to move through this high-speed era of change that we're living in, you know, that, by the way, is a Chinese curse. May you be born in times of change. Ancient Chinese curse. And yet, the truth is, I feel as I meet our modern lifestyle with the heart, I'm just perpetually in awe and appreciation of the changes happening in our world and the opportunities that those changes are giving us to explore our potential, our full potential as human beings in dynamic interaction with one another. And when the heart is applied into that, the beauty that is possible is at times truly overwhelming to me. But when we are meeting these high-speed changes in the absence of heart, then the devastation, the insanity, the suffering can be equally overwhelming. And so we're going to look at that tonight and the power of the heart to transform the pain and the suffering that, in particular, mania, depression, anxiety have and create for those suffering with them and also for their family members, the stress of dealing with all of that. And it relates for me a bit to this issue of responding to high-speed change, the Chinese curse. And if we were to look just physically for a moment at what is it in us that allows us to adapt and respond to change, you know, if you go with evolutionary theory, then that means that species adapt to change through genetic mutations and that type of thing that allow them to survive changes better than their brothers and sisters. And so adaptation to change happens over generations in cycles, mutation cycles. But I don't know about you, the internet wasn't around when I was born, and neither were iPhones. So I didn't have email. I didn't even have a phone when I was young. So I haven't, my species hasn't had a chance to go through the genetic mutation cycle to be able to respond to all this new technology. What that means is that we as individuals have to respond to these changes. We're living in the very same bodies that were designed to run from tigers and hide from lions, right? These bodies were designed for survival in the jungle and on the prairie. And yet the jungle that they're facing today is the corporate jungle. The prairie is the free traffic jam.
Siobhan.
Hi there.
Hey, Sheva.
*6 your phone, that would be great. And then
okay.
We can unmute when we're coming off the call.
Okay.
So the jungles are corporate jungles. The prairies are freeways in the middle of a traffic jam. And yet our bodies are responding to tests that are of a social nature, like dating, or tests that are of an intellectual nature, like a deadline, as if it's really a deadline, truly a life threat. And what happens then is survival physiology kicks in, shutting down our higher brain function. And most poignantly in relation to tonight's call, affecting the nervous system in a very particular way that strongly influences our mood, our immune system, ultimately the way that our brain works, our neurotransmitter balances and imbalances and so on. So what we need collectively and individually to be able to download an upgrade to our physiology that allows us to meet social challenges, work and school deadlines, traffic jams, and other modern stressors, technology, all the rest, to be able to adapt to that change intelligently, to be able to respond with our full capacity, our higher brain centers, and not our predatory prey instinct of survival. Because that won't help us in modern stressful situations. In fact, it's the very thing, these systems designed to keep us alive, ironically, in stressful situations are now the very things that are compromising our aliveness and in some cases even predisposing us to severe dis-ease mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so tonight we're going to look at all of this in relation to anxiety, depression, mania, and bipolar disorder and family members who are dealing with that stress. And this topic is deeply close to my own heart. Not only have I known personally many people who have suffered from mental or psychiatric diagnosis, but I myself, and this is one of the reasons that I always tell people that I'm kind of the ideal poster child to offer HeartMath and its technology, its science, its tools, because when people come to me and say, well, you know, that's all well and good and it could work for people's stress, but that could never help me, I'm a worst case scenario. And I say to them, oh, yeah? Let me tell you a little bit about my own story. I was diagnosed at 7 or 8 years old for the first time with a predisposition, a genetic predisposition to depression and anxiety. 7 years old. Now, that's not that uncommon now, to tell you the truth. We have so many children who are being diagnosed as young as 4 and 5 and put on medications for ADD, ADHD, different psychiatric diagnoses. Bipolar is very popular, if you will, now for young children as well. And I have my own ideas about why those diseases are surfacing more in younger people, related to, by the way, this idea that we need to respond so much more to high-speed change and stimulation. And so I do want to preface this call by saying my intention tonight is to really offer hope, not to diagnose anyone, not to tell anyone what's medically true or not true. It's not my role. I will share with you my own experience. I will share with you my knowledge from a Western point of view, Western medical point of view, psychiatric point of view, which has its limitations because I'm not a psychiatrist, so I want to be very clear about that. So I'm not here to diagnose or treat anyone's disease. I'm here to share my own direct experience and the experience I've had, the enormously privileged experience I've had in working with friends and family members and individuals who have been diagnosed with mental illness, and the beauty that arises in letting go of that identity and discovering something deeper in the heart. And I can certainly share my own knowledge and experience as a physician of Oriental medicine in terms of how Oriental medicine looks at anxiety, depression, mania, and bipolar, which, interestingly enough, is not treated from the brain in a Oriental Chinese medical point of view, but in the heart, which happens to coincide with what finally brought me my own healing nearly 20 years after receiving my initial psychiatric diagnosis at 7 years old. So this genetic predisposition that I supposedly had, amazing how genes can change when you find a powerful tool, this genetic, which, by the way, I have been, and this, again, is just my own experience. I'm not suggesting that this would necessarily be anyone else's direct experience, but for me, the day that I started practicing heart math, I went off my antidepressant medication, and I have not required it since, and that was 12 years ago. So at 7 years old, I was, you know, given this sentence, it felt like at the time, this genetic predisposition. I had an uncle who died of hypochondria and starved himself to death, and a grandfather who also suffered from severe anxiety and depression. So I was already genetically set up for this, and then when I was 7 years old, my best friend was murdered, and so that event, that life event, detonated this already predisposed physical condition, according at that time to the doctors that I worked with. And then puberty hit and hormones kicked in, and that amplified the whole thing. And then on top of that, as some of you who are listening to the call tonight know, I ended up working in a war zone at 19 years old with street children, experiencing a whole other different level of trauma, mentally, emotionally, as well as physically. I woke up to machine gun fire every morning. I was kidnapped at gunpoint and came back to North America after that at 20 years old, having gone into full-blown menopause at 20. And while I had been a professional dancer, my muscles seized up to the degree that I had the body of like a 70-year-old. I couldn't touch my knees, let alone my toes. Lost all my flexibility, was in chronic pain, digestive problems, and so on. So at that age, then, I went and saw as many healthcare providers as I could, as in addition to studying medicine. I thought I was going to become a psychiatrist, actually, because I had such a longing to understand where freedom from suffering could come from. First and foremost, of course, for myself, but my own suffering, my own pain emotionally led me to have a finger on the pulse of the suffering of others and gave me a deep well of compassion for that and a desire to set it free. And so my knowledge firsthand in the early years of what it's like to be a family member of someone who suffers from anxiety and depression was to watch my uncle die and for all of us to feel powerless in that, to watch my grandfather wither away, and then ultimately to watch as my parents stood by feeling helpless and hopeless in the face of my own angst. And at times, as I look back on it now with a well of gratitude towards them, seeing even in myself the desperation and the blame that I projected towards them of, can't you do something to help me? You created me. It's got to be your fault. Get me out of this mess. And I can only imagine how that must have pulled on their heartstrings and the stress that caused them. And so it is a deep passion of mine to teach family members who have a loved one who is suffering from a mental illness diagnosis, which we'll talk about the stigma of that and the power of the heart to release that in a moment. It's a deep passion of mine, probably. In some ways, a part of me is still, you know, making up for what I did to my own parents, and yet their love was a huge part of what pulled me through, and that's the first thing I want to communicate tonight. If you walk away with nothing else tonight, you can know that even against all appearances, we know from research at HeartMath and now research cropping up in other places as well, love has a profound physiological impact on us, both the person who's loving and the person who's being loved, the person who's caring and the person who's being cared for. Even if it doesn't look like it's making any difference at all, I guarantee you it is. We know it is. That in a state of love, in a state of care, in a state of genuine appreciation, your own heart rhythm goes into an ordered pattern that HeartMath technology called the M wave, which we give people in adjunct with the beginner course that we teach. The HeartMath technology called the M actually measures this unique ordered pattern that the heart rhythm takes in a state of love, in a state of care. When that care gets carried too far and turns into worry or trying to fix someone, then the worry, the trying to fix someone, the stress, the over-responsibility, the sense of feeling guilty, which I'm sure my parents must have, and I send them care every day and gratitude that behind all that was genuine love that did help me crawl out of that pit to this place where I can benefit others, which is like winning the lottery of a lifetime. That love creates order in the heart rhythm, and when it becomes worry, when it becomes anxiety, when it becomes resignation or depression, God, this will never change, or trying to fix somebody, because when you're trying to fix somebody, that's not actually loving them, it's judging them, isn't it? There's something wrong with you and we need to fix you. That was a message I got when at 7 years old. You're broken. Well intended, but that message is one of the messages I had to fight against to claw my way up to sanity. So the worry, the fixing, the over-caring, the over-responsibility, the guilt, that creates, that's stress. We could lump all those words into stress, right? That stress causes a chaotic pattern in the heart. Now, this is truly significant because it turns out that if you were to look at the orchestrations of your body, like one symphony with many instruments playing in unison, it turns out that the conductor those instruments are following is the heart. And this now is a peek into some of the new science that helps and helped me personally understand why Chinese medicine treats mental illness, everything from just the most minor irritation or irritability or insomnia or, you know, mood swings with your period, all the way to full-blown schizophrenia and bipolar disorder through the heart. Because the heart is the largest electrical oscillator in your body. It puts out 40 to 60 times more electrical potency than the next biggest electrical battery called your brain. And what that means by a law of physics called entrainment is that the heart's rhythm is what everything else is syncing up to, following. It's the conductor of this symphonic orchestra. And when the heart is chaotic, this is a key piece of heart math science that all our tools are based on, that empowered me to leap out of, to crawl out of, to be free of years of insanity, is that emotions dictate what the heart rhythm is doing. We know that intuitively anyway, right? I felt it with my whole heart. Well, it turns out when we feel worry with our whole heart, it's because the heart gets chaotic in a state of worry. Before we started this recording, one of the callers who's on the call live tonight shared very vulnerably with us that she was just released from the hospital with a heart problem. And they told her that it was stress. I was working with a cardiologist in Hawaii and reading some papers that he was there working with, and I was absolutely blown away to discover that only 20% of heart disease can be attributed to the major risk factors for heart disease, like obesity, blood sugar imbalances, smoking, genetics, poor diet. Only 20% can be tracked to those things. What's the other 80%? Well, now they're attributing much more of it to emotional stress. Here's the good news, though. The heart is not only the conductor of the orchestra electromagnetically or electrically. There's a brain in the heart. Only in the last 15 to 20 years has science discovered that which Chinese medicine has said all along, that there's an intelligence in the heart that they can actually see as neurons, proteins, support cells, its own unique intrinsic nervous system in the heart. So this intelligence in the heart, combined with its electrical influence, creates a cascade of 1,400 other responses in the body, all relative to whether the heart is creating an ordered message or a chaotic message. What is insanity? It's really chaos. It's a chaotic. It's message. It's the orchestra warming up instead of singing in tune, if you will. And the good news here is that as much as stress is affecting the heart, it turns out, based on this research from HeartMath, that the heart gives us a profound power to affect, diminish, and in some cases even eradicate our stress. So how does that relate to anxiety, to depression, to dealing with the stress of a diagnosis like bipolar disorder? And the invitation that was sent out, one of the first things that I felt called to write about was the heart has this unique power to be able to see the value and appreciate the value in everything that happens. That's one of the hallmarks that I've discovered in myself of the intelligence of the heart. Whereas I find that my brain intelligence, which I value very highly, is able to discern and assess things in a different way. So it's looking for what's wrong and how to problem solve it. And together, if you get the heart intelligence working with brain intelligence, they make an incredible partnership. And that's optimal. But if you think about it, when the conductor of your orchestra is, if you will, metaphorically having a seizure, then the tympani is not working with the flute player, the brain is not working with the heart, and the liver and the immune system aren't either. Everything becomes disordered, chaotic. And in those situations, you can get into this downward spiral of looking for what's wrong and trying to fix it. And so similarly, the heart has a way of taking the value from everything. And one of the places that I wanted to start when I sent this invitation for the call tonight was even in a diagnosis itself, there's value that can be had. So with most of the clients that I work with who have received a diagnosis, or their family members, you know, who are suddenly very concerned because they've received a diagnosis of bipolar or anxiety or depression, they can feel like Dani, the young woman that we quoted, beautiful writer, beautiful wise woman that we quoted in the invitation for those who read it, like they're boxed in. Suddenly they have this identity that's stapled to their forehead. Now I have mental illness, or I'm bipolar. Or me at 7 years old, predisposed to depression, genetic. And then that identity, just like walking around with any identity, I'm a loser, or I'm a winner, or you know, I'm a doctor, or I'm a school teacher, or I'm a dentist, whatever it is, becomes a limitation on who you really are. And so when I start my beginner workshops, the first thing I do is I ask people to point to themselves. So just for fun, I mean, you guys can't see each other. You're calling in from all over the world tonight, which I love. I love that sense that we're connecting across the globe in the heart. Just take a moment and point to yourself and notice, where are you pointing? You're certainly not pointing to a medical report that says you are a diagnosis. You're probably not even pointing to your big toe or your forehead. If you are like 99.999% of the people that I work with, you're pointing straight to the center of your chest and your heart. So step one in meeting anxiety, depression, stress, bipolar, other mental illness is to remember who you really are. At the heart of you, those things may be something that your body or your emotions or your mind are going through in any given moment, but who you are is at the heart of your being. And I will go so far as to say, from my own direct experience, it's already inherently free of the suffering that you're dealing with. Now, that can sound very esoteric until you learn that there's a step-by-step process through which you could access the mind and the heart, the literal intelligence, speak to and communicate via four pathways to the mind and your brain, and deliver its messages of internal peace, compassion for yourself or for a loved one. So that's step one, is not to forget who you are. And from that place, diagnoses can actually be useful, very useful and very liberating, because then we can know at least what imbalance is happening in the body, and it doesn't have to be daunting, because there's an intelligence in the heart that can help us to find balance again. And the truth of the matter is, in this day and age, at the speed of change and the speed of technology, I'm hard-pressed to be introduced to very many people who are in a state of balance. We're in a type of collective insanity right now, to varying degrees, of course. But so imbalance is nothing to be ashamed of. And once you have tools, then it becomes like a video game in life, to stay balanced at the speed of change, at the speed of technology. And that can bring tremendous joy, tremendous fulfillment, when you know who you really are in the midst of the game. With regards to anxiety, depression, and bipolar, and just to say, I hear a few people have joined us since we got started, and I really welcome you to the call tonight. And all I'd ask you to do is star six your phone, because we're getting some background noise. And if I have to, I can star five and mute everyone, but I like to keep the lines open if someone has a question. Okay, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So with regards to anxiety, depression, bipolar, the stress of these things, allow me to say that we have an hour tonight, and I probably will go over because this particular topic is so dear to my heart and such a passion. But in an hour, I'm going to have to take a very complex system physiologically and do my best to explain it in lay terms in a short time and in a simple way. So forgive me for those who are calling in, you know, members of the medical community for oversimplifying. And if you would like more information or to have a more in-depth conversation about research, science, and all of that, I really encourage you to contact me, even if it's not about that. If it's a more in-depth conversation about your sister or your brother or you or your uncle or whoever, please do feel free to contact me. And I'm going to give you a way to do that right now because I forgot to do that at the beginning of the call. It's Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Fiera, F like fantastic, Y, E-R-A.com, Sheva at Fiera.com. Or you can call me directly at 310-581-1507. So I encourage you, if you don't get your question answered tonight, and or if your question is of an in-depth scientific or medical nature, that you contact me directly later. But I also welcome your questions and your stories later on as well on this call. So that is a preface to say I'll dive in a little bit and give you my perception, both from my own direct experience and also my experience as a doctor of Oriental medicine, and how I've looked at that through the lens of science from places like HeartMath. My understanding of the suffering that we call anxiety, depression, bipolar, and the stress of that. So in myself, with this predisposition to elated states of mania, which I was completely addicted to, by the way, I loved my mania. I didn't want anyone to medicate me for that. I loved staying up for many nights in a row and the creative bursts that would come from it. I never wanted that to be classified as insanity. I loved the feeling of it. What I didn't like was the crash afterwards and the deep states of despair that I could go into when suddenly all that creativity bottomed out and I was exhausted and I just felt like a lead weight and I couldn't even get up off the couch. And so it was only the states of depression that led me to seek treatment and help. It was never the states of mania, though I know that some people can have manic episodes that are equally terrifying for them. And it was only once I came to start to... I was treated, by the way, for those extremes emotionally with pharmaceuticals, and successfully, by the way, for a couple of years. So I never downplay the role that medication can play in someone's life because I feel that it saved my own. I think all of our tools out there are incredibly valuable, and the biggest problem is our judgment of the tools, as if God is not in a cheeseburger or an antidepressant pill. Whatever helps an individual at their juncture of the journey is something that I appreciate deeply from my heart. Remember I said the heart learns to see the value in everything? I do see that antidepressants are being, and other pharmaceuticals are being offered a lot. One in three women in Canada is on antidepressant or some mood-altering drug in their lifetime has been. $13.5 billion spent last year in the U.S. on antidepressant medication alone. That was just the serotonergic reuptake inhibitors like Prozac, not even including the other meds that people are on. So they may as well put this stuff in our drinking water, basically. Is that? Why is this such a global epidemic? Again, without making that wrong, what I'd like to do is introduce you to what I discovered inside myself through Chinese medicine and HeartMath, which was I came to see that what was being treated in me as a neurotransmitter problem in my brain was really a disease of my heart. Not only from an esoteric Chinese medical point of view that the mind is in the heart, or that I was heartbroken by things that I had seen in life, things that had happened in the world, whether it was my best friend being murdered or living in the war, there was a heartbreak there because I didn't know how to respond to those things with the intelligence, compassion, and care of my heart. So instead, I reacted to them from old survival physiology, seeing the world as a threatening place. And that was the heartbreak. And that heartbreak drove me insane. And so the antidote to that, the medicine, the healing of that, was the discovery that when I found a genuine place of care, a genuine place of appreciation, a genuine place of love, this had to be not conceptual. It couldn't be a thought. It had to be an experience, something I really appreciated. And I'll tell you, at the height of my depression, at the height of my anxiety, the things that I would find to appreciate could be things like, I'm so grateful my tongue doesn't hurt right now. Because I had trouble finding anything to appreciate. And I was in so much chronic pain in those early days that something like that would be all I could grab onto. But it was enough. Because it doesn't matter whether you're appreciating winning the Nobel Prize or a nice pedicure because it has a flower on it. It really doesn't matter. It's the appreciation, but the genuine feeling of it that changes heart rhythms. And those changing heart rhythms change how the brain works. There's the neurotransmitters. Opens up different parts of the brain that perceive life differently. Take in more of life. See more of what's there to appreciate. And you get yourself on this upward moving spiral that changes your hormones, changes your nervous system. And this is the key piece that I want to share with you tonight. Because what I found in myself was that what was being treated as a, what I thought all along was a broken part that I arrived with. I always wanted to like send myself back, as if I could send myself back to Walmart. I came with a broken brain. That's what I felt. That's what I felt all through my teens, all through my 20s, that I was broken and that I wanted to be sent back for a refund or for a replacement part. Right? And that's what the medication gave me. It felt like it was a replacement part for the part of me that was broken in my brain. And what I found out experientially was that as I was able to shift my physiology through the heart, it changed my nervous system. And what I thought was a broken brain was really me driving my nervous system like the driver of a car in an unintelligent way. For lack of a better way to say that, what does that mean? Well, let's look at the nervous system for a second. And again, this is only my own direct experience. I'm not saying this as if this is ultimate truth. This is where my healing happened, and if it's useful to you or useful to someone you love, it's extended from my heart to yours as care and a gift and understanding of what it's like to be going through things like anxiety, depression, bipolar, and watching a loved one experience that. So what I came to discover was the nervous system, you have two nervous systems. One is called the central nervous system. That's the brain and the spinal cord. Okay, so that's where mostly my treatment came when I was young, was treating the brain. And then you have what's called the autonomic nervous system, the ANS, which is another way of saying automatic nervous system. This is the nervous system that they called automatic because it's supposed to automatically respond to your survival issues like breathing and your heart beating and digestion and sleeping and these kinds of things. It's your peripheral nervous system also, which means that it's what helps your brain and your spinal cord talk to your body and your body talk to your brain and spinal cord. So when you get the idea, I'm going to go for a run, your autonomic nervous system helps you do that. Sends the message to your legs and your arms. And the autonomic nervous system has two branches inside itself. A gas, an accelerator, that we call the sympathetic nervous system, that's stimulation. So if I was to have all of you on the call right now stand up and do 50 jumping jacks, your breath rate would increase and you'd feel more blood flow all over your body, and you probably get flushed and you'd feel your heart speed up, and you'd be experiencing your accelerator. That's the sympathetic nervous system. And the parasympathetic nervous system is your brakes. So just like a good car, we have a gas, we have a brakes. We have a certain amount of fuel, and we have an engine, right? And the brakes, parasympathetic nervous system, is so the sympathetic or accelerator is commonly called the fight or flight system, stimulation, right? And I used to, when I was training people, call the parasympathetic system the digest and rest system. So the brakes. It's really the relaxation response is what it is. So the sympathetic nervous system, part of the ANS, is your excitatory response. And you can be excited in a healthy way or an unhealthy way. What does that mean, healthy, unhealthy? Maybe a better way to say that is ordered or chaotic. You can be excited in an ordered way or a chaotic way. And similarly, you could be relaxed. This is item number two, if you only walk away with two things, it's a reminder of what's number one. Item number one, if you only walk away with one thing, your love counts. Your care gets there. Even if you don't know how to care well, I guarantee you, your care makes a difference for yourself, for others. We know it does. Item number two, you can have chaotic relaxation. What does that mean? Those two words don't seem like they go together. Relaxation is not the only or is not always an antidote to stress. It can be. But you can be relaxed and stressed at the same time. That's item number two. A lot of times when people are diagnosed with anxiety, especially when in a manic episode, you're just trying to get them to relax. Like, just relax. But relaxation is not the answer there. Why is that? Well, think about this. Depression is chaotic relaxation. And now we know that from heart rhythms, that the heart rhythms of chaotic excitement, which I'm going to call in my own experience mania, that's what I experienced in a manic episode. I was wildly creative and I loved it, but I was burning myself out. It wasn't healthy excitement. And most of the time, by the way, it wasn't creativity that got the job done either. Because it was chaotic. It wasn't grounded. It wasn't effective. It just burned up a lot of fuel. Just for fun, what I'd like you guys to do is take a moment and draw a really, if you have a pen and paper, otherwise you can make a mental note of this in your mind, draw a really chaotic line. Up and down, herky-jerky, non-uniform, all over the place. And then underneath that, further along your paper, so it goes further, I want you to draw a nice, even sine curve. Gentle, rolling hills. Just look at those two things and ask yourself, which one of those took more ink? Which one of those would be aligned with my manic episodes? Top line, right? Crazy, chaotic, wild. Seemed passionate, but I'd wake up and the next day I'd read the writing that I'd written and it didn't really make sense. Wasn't coherent. It was chaotic. But I had burned up a lot of fuel and I was exhausted. And then I'd read it and see, oh my God, I thought I'd written something so beautiful and it was just really a piece of crap. And then I'd get really depressed. And I had no ink left, no juice left, no fuel left in my system to respond to that. And so that was my yo-yo that I rode up and down, getting fully inspired and wired, but in a chaotic way. And then feeling like I had failed and crashing hard. And that was the the mania, the depression, the pseudo-bipolar, if you will. And what it was actually riding up and down the autonomic nervous system, the gas and the brakes, because I was driving my car in a fuel-inefficient way. I would get a full tank of gas, something would inspire me, and I'd floor the accelerator. Forget all about the brakes. I don't want to know about the brakes. I love accelerating. This feels great. And I'd crash right into a wall. Or I would just completely run out of fuel and realize, because I'd been pedal to the metal, that I'd been driving in circles and I hadn't gotten anywhere. That's what most people living life right now are doing in one way or another. They're either pedal to the metal and their braking system is not working, or they're not using it. That's the insomnia we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That the parasympathetic nervous system just doesn't even know how to kick in anymore because we're so constantly having to respond to accelerate through life to keep up with the speed of change. And our nervous system forgets how to click into brakes. Or we run out of gas completely and we can't get off the couch. We're all brakes and we don't get anywhere. We're all brakes in fear. We feel paralyzed. We don't want to run out of gas, so we're hoarding our energy and we don't go anywhere. We don't live life anymore. Where the bulk of us are somewhere in between. Not sure whether we should be gas or brakes right now. Wait, okay, I'm not sure. So we end up driving like my old uncle did, with his foot on the gas and the brakes at the same time, and we're in this herky-jerky ride that we call stress, with an occasional mood swing in between where we get stuck on the accelerator, stuck on the brakes. And my experience with people who have bipolar is their nervous system doesn't know how to oscillate evenly between gas and brakes. Their foot gets stuck on the accelerator until they run out of fuel or hit a wall, and then they're all brakes until something comes along that fills their gas tank and they get a new car. And they're all accelerator, and they don't know how to brake, and then they smash and they're all brakes again. And in myself and in the people that I've worked with, I've found this remarkable transition that occurs when they learn how to finesse the gas and the brake at the same time. Not driving with your foot on both at the same time, but just like you intelligently drive through an average city street where you have a little gas, a little brakes, a little gas, a little brakes, a little acceleration, a little deceleration. And that, it turns out, can be influenced through the heart rhythm. That when the heart speeds up, that's our accelerator. And when it slows down, that's our brakes. And the mind and the heart is able to respond to life and accurately take life in. And respond to life and accurately take life in. And then the GPS in our heart, the guidance system that's there, we can actually follow. Because if we're all accelerator, our GPS 5 miles back was saying turn left, but we were already 5 miles ahead of what our GPS told us to do. So we can't even hear our own internal guidance when we're all gas. And when we're all brakes, our guidance system is no use to us because it's saying, well, turn left at the next light, but we don't even make it that far. We're just stuck sitting there in paralysis. And so everything starts to work better in this harmonious interaction of our intelligence. And as you could hear more about if you take the beginner course, in our immune system and our hormones and our neurotransmitters and these interactions internally, and in our own guidance system in the heart, the gas and the brakes and the engine driving us in our lives. When the nervous system learns to oscillate in this even way. So we don't get stuck in mania, we don't get stuck in depression. And understanding that a diagnosis of one or the other or both oscillating does not mean necessarily that you're broken and you need to be returned or fixed. And understanding that as a family member, that in essence it may be that you just need to learn how to drive your car, how to drive your system. And the truth is, all of us in modern times are needing to learn anew how to drive our systems because we're driving through completely new terrain. We're using these wild, antiquated, all-terrain vehicles on paved freeways, for God's sake. So how do we do this? How do we do this? And it turns out that the heart has an answer to that question. The intelligence in the heart, which can be trained to be accessed, is sending signals to the brain all the time, guiding us into greater balance, physically, mentally, emotionally, in all areas. And so there are specific techniques that I give clients. Both the biofeedback technology was immeasurably valuable for me, the M-Wave, and being able to see, you know, those lines that you drew on your paper or made a mental note of in your mind, that's what the M-Wave shows you. It shows you whether your heart in any given moment is chaotic and in worry or overcare or anxiety or anger or depression, resignation, creates that chaotic heart rhythm where you're, whether you're chaotic, excited, or chaotic, relaxed, it doesn't matter. The chaos is the same. It's stress. And it helps guide you into that state of order. And what is that state of order? It's pretty simple. It's really just a little bit of gas, a little bit of brakes. It's that nice, even sine curve. That's a picture of the heart when it goes accelerating a little bit and decelerating. And in that ordered state, we know that the brain is more receptive to the signals and intelligence from the heart. Immunity improves. Brain function alters. I'm fairly certain in my own self that that's why I've been able to be free of my own antidepressant medication since practicing heart math. And we do have ways, by the way, that we can measure that for you. If you're calling in and this is a particular issue for you, I work with a lab called Sinesco that with a simple urine and saliva test that you can take at home, we can measure your neurotransmitters to know exactly which ones. You have 7 that we work with, not just serotonin, which is being treated a lot. But we look at all 7 to see which ones are out of balance, and we can give you amino acids and other things to support you as you're learning how to self-balance that from the internal pharmacy of your heart, your emotions. So that little bit of gas, that little bit of brakes that then starts to change the harmonious interaction of how your whole car works. You can imagine people driving with their car with their foot on the gas and the brake at the same time, or floored, pedal to the metal, or just brakes and clutching the steering wheel, and I'm not going to go anywhere. It's just not safe. All of those imbalances, the pedal to the metal rage, the clutching the steering wheel in fear, the confusion and the frustration of pedals, gas, brake, same time. All of that, if you were doing that in your car, creates a tremendous amount of wear and tear in your car. Well, needless to say, that stress creates wear and tear in your body, whether you've received a mental illness diagnosis from that or you have a loved one who has and you're so worried about them that you are exhausting your own body in the process. And the antidote, the beautiful antidote, comes back to this simple thing, the first thing I said to you, love and care. Now, how to really love and care without worrying, without fixing, without overcaring, that's mastery, isn't it? And that's why we have a program called Heart Mastery at Fiera. However, your love itself is trustworthy, even if you never listen to another call that I offer again. It does create that order in the heart. And that's a touchstone you can always come back to. What really matters to me right now? What do I really care about? And how would that care fuel me? What action could I take for my self-care or my care for another or my care for our world? My appreciation of artwork, whatever it is that you care about, that you love. What action could I take that would put me in alignment with that care? Not the worry, not the frustration, not the greed, not the overcare. With the true and genuine care, knowing that is balancing my system. And sometimes, and this is, again, a beautiful quality of the GPS of the heart, remembering that the guidance system of your heart will be more more clear to you. You'll hear it more clearly when you're in a state of genuine care for yourself even. Then it will guide you to whatever treatments, and there are so many wonderful treatments for everything that we're struggling with, whether your anxiety and depression and stress is minor day-to-day irritation or whether it's full-blown debilitating suffering for you. The guidance system of your heart will lead you to the many systems or within the many systems of care for that will most benefit you. So when I work with people from the heart, it's not as if, oh, you'll learn heart math and that's the only answer you need. In fact, I've found that when people learn heart math, what it does, when I learned heart math, it opened me up to the other answers that were there for me, the other support. And it helped me discern what I needed and what was unnecessary. The GPS was right there. Turn left here and ignore the next three exits. Do not get off. You don't need that stuff. But definitely do this. You know, it's and the more you listen, the more you follow your heart, which now is not just a metaphor, but literal. In terms of the order the heart brings system-wide to you, as well as the intelligence in your heart that's communicating to the brain what you need and how you could get what you need. And then the better you feel and the more you hear your heart. And the more order there is in your system, and the better you feel. And you get on this up spiral where life, at least my life for the last 12 years, and then those that I've worked with, like Danny, who wrote so beautifully at the end of this invitation that I sent out for the call tonight. And maybe that's how I would take a moment to just close, is in Danny's words, to share with her, from her vantage point, what happens when she found her heart. And then I will open up the call for any questions or any of your own personal stories. Here's what Danny said. When I first learned to go back to the heart, the wonder of sensation slipped over my entire body. Everything felt new. Food tasted better. My clothes were softer. My yoga practice lighter. My psyche cleaner. I rediscovered the little things that shape the big ones. Now I see the truth. I see the miracle in the blade of grass breaking through concrete. Life wins. Just life, just love. If only we could make the heart the priority. Remember that love is what it's all about. It's fear that keeps us polarized, fear that keeps us in competition with one another. Fear that is insane. Love yourself and then go ahead and love everyone around you, everyone else, and be happy and joyful. Don't eat too much. Don't acquire too much. The universe wants you to be happy. If you have something, share it. If you love, share. Give love. Be love. Love is here. You already have what you are searching for. It seems like such a poetic metaphor, the idea that go within or you will go without. I remember reading that for the first time in Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Go within or you will go without. And yet now one of the things I absolutely love about heart math is they gave me, because I had a scientific and medical background, it wasn't enough to have these spiritual platitudes like go within or you will go without. I needed the meat of that, and heart math gave me the science to understand it, that it's really true. The heart is the first organ to form in the fetus. It initiates its own electrical impulses completely independent of the brain. It has its own intelligence. It has been discovered to have its own protein support cells, neurotransmitters that it generates from itself. It is now classified as an endocrine organ, meaning a hormonal organ, because it produces the love hormone, oxytocin, and others. The heart is self-sourced. It literally is a place where if we couldn't have access to our spiritual books, if we couldn't have access to our pills, our bottles of pills or our bottles of herbs or our perfect diet or the exercise we want because we sprained our ankle, it doesn't matter ultimately, because all of what you seek in going without is within your heart. And then your heart can guide you to what will help you outside. It's really my sincere hope that my own story and Danny's and maybe even others, a few other people on the call that would like to share tonight, will just offer, as I said, a glimmer of hope that there is another way to look at the collective stress, anxiety, depression, and rampant bipolar diagnoses that people are experiencing now. Just a slightly different way to look at it, a different way to work with it that may help people in their journey. Hope that there's freedom from the suffering of that, and that in fact, experiencing those extremes could be the very thing driving you to have the highest quality of life you can, because it is a necessity for you to master how to drive your life, how to drive your car, if you will, so that it's not driving you. To go from being driven by these old mechanical patterns in our physiology to consciously driving our way, leading our own lives from the heart, brings enormous joy and enormous fulfillment and yields enormous potential for every individual and their unique contribution that they alone were designed to make. And so I do hope that tonight's call gave you hope. That was my intention. And so I'm going to open up the lines right now and unmute you. You can unmute yourself by pressing *6 if there are any questions at all or any stories that you'd like to share. So give me just a moment. I'm going to unmute you. Okay. So if you muted yourself, just unmute by pressing *6, and otherwise, anybody have any questions or any personal stories that they'd like to share?
Hi, my name's Janet. I'd like to know how you get the Sonesco test. Does it have to be ordered by a doctor, or?
It does need to be ordered by a healthcare provider, and if you'd like me to order the Sonesco test, I can give you the details on that. It's $210 to run the test, and they ship the test. And that, by the way, is not marked up. It's illegal for us to mark up a medical test here in California. So that's my cost. And they ship the test kit straight to your home. And you could do the whole thing in your own bathroom. It requires that you pee in a cup, I think, first thing in the morning. All the instructions are there. And you need to spit in a tube, I think, 4 times a day because we're checking your stress hormone levels throughout the day. And then all you do is seal it back up. You can hand it to your postman, and he'll ship it back to Sonesco, and that's all that's required. It takes them about 30 days, though they have been working on accelerating that process. It takes them about 30 days to run the test. And then if you want to have a consult, I can just email you your test result, and Sonesco, by the way, recommends someone for you. If you want to have a consult with me to walk you through the results of your test, I do that for $75. And I don't know, any other questions about the test? It's a great question.
You don't spit into a cotton ball, just into the urine?
You do spit into a cotton ball, exactly. You actually have to chew it, which is, gives cotton mouth a whole other sensation. It's not the most pleasant thing, but it's really not so bad. It's not like you have to go, you know, to a lab to draw blood or anything like that. It's really easy.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, and if anybody wants the Sonesco test run, you can send me an email, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Sierra, FYERA.com. Or you can call me 310-581-1507. I've found that test, by the way, to be very liberating for people who have been struggling with mood disorders because, like, for example, I was prescribed Paxil, which is a derivative of Prozac, or it's, you know, a Prozac family drug. It addresses serotonin. And I was on that for 2 years, but no doctor ever tested my serotonin to find out if that was what the imbalance was. So when I finally tested myself through Sonesco, it was really enlightening for me personally, because I got to see that there was nothing wrong at all with my serotonin. In fact, the issue was another neurotransmitter that was an inhibitory neurotransmitter. Basically, my brakes weren't working. Well, we could have figured that out because I lived in a war zone, right? I was on constant vigilant accelerator. I wasn't going to slow down. I was waking up to machine gun fire every morning. I didn't know how to brake anymore. And so that was very, very helpful, again, to remove that sense that there was something fundamentally broken in my brain and see, oh, wow, this is fluid stuff. This changes. It responds to what you're doing inside. Mm-hmm. And I was able to adjust all my neurotransmitter levels just from using heart math tools myself. So it's really, and it's so confirming for people, too, who've been struggling with, you know, feeling like they try to do everything they should, like they eat right and they exercise and they say their prayers or they do their meditations and still they feel horrible. And then they do these simple neurotransmitter tests and they say, oh, yeah, well, look, you've really depleted here or you've got an excess of this. And it just somehow makes it very real, like no wonder I feel like I've been fighting an uphill battle. And there's very practical things that we could do to just make that easier and more balanced for people.
So now what are some of the recommendations that they give for treating this?
That Sonesco gives?
Yeah.
Sonesco is basically a supplement company, so they're working primarily with amino acids, which are precursors to neurotransmitters. So they're all natural supplements, basically food-grade supplements that are addressing nutritional deficiencies in people that can be a cause for neurotransmitter insufficiencies. And then I'm looking at what's creating that depletion from an emotional point of view. Where are the emotional drains, the stresses that we're running in our perceptions and the way that we react to life, and empowering people to shift that, and that ends up shifting heart rhythms, which then shifts internal chemistry in a number of different ways.
So basically they work hand in hand. You need one. I mean, just if you were just to get the amino acids and stuff, if you didn't correct what you were doing internally with your heart, it would just continue.
You know, I never give anyone like not an ultimatum, but what is it? I don't know. I never have absolutes like that.
Right.
Every person is so different, and it's one of my joys in the work that I do. It affords me to work with people individually and to have those tests so we can see what uniquely is going on with this person and what's going on in your life. And you know, some people respond really well to medications. That's just a fact. I was one of them. They helped me enormously until I didn't feel that I needed them anymore because I learned how to handle those emotions in myself. And then other people, you know, the amino acids, other people really, it just depends on you and not only you, but where you are at this particular moment. And so I never say, you absolutely need this, and you know that's why it's so important to me to teach people to access the GPS in their heart, the guidance system there, because what works for one person may not necessarily be right for another, and what worked for you a year ago may not be what you need right now.
Wow.
But if you have an internal guidance system that, you know, the heart beat, this is why in Chinese medicine we can feel the pulse of the heart. And there are actually 18 radial pulses. A radial pulse is the pulse at your wrist. We feel 18 of those pulses to tell us everything that's going on in your body and your mind.
Wow.
As a doctor of Oriental medicine, right? The heart tells us everything that's happening inside of you. Well, why is that? Because the pulse of the heart goes everywhere you are, and if it doesn't, that's pretty bad news because it means that part of you just died. So the heart touches all of you, which means the intelligence of the heart has its finger on the pulse of every part of your being. You think the guidance system there might know something about what every part of you needs in any given moment? It really, truly does. In my own experience, I've seen it time and time again. The heart, if I take a moment to consult with it, to ask my heart, it guides me to what I need right now. And sometimes it's a surprise. So one of the first things that I do to help people overcome these things is to really help support, teach them ways and support them in the step-by-step process that HeartMath has geniusly developed to access that GPS in the heart so that they're empowered in their own healthcare choices.
Does the test work if you're on medication?
It does. One of the things that Sonesco has you do is fill out a form at the beginning, which outlines, you know, they ask you what medications are you taking, what supplements are you taking, the history, what symptoms are you experiencing, and the algorithm that Sonesco works with in terms of their results as well as factoring in all those things takes that into account in assessing what's going on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Sonesco has a website as well, by the way, which is sanesco.net, sanesco.net. I think they're in North Carolina. And so you could also do your own research there, and they may have other local doctors in your area that could work with you there if you didn't want to order the test through me, then I'm happy to do it. Very useful. Any other questions or related to any of this or any of your own experiences you want to share?
So you were able to overcome this by developing this yourself?
When you say developing this myself.
I mean, by learning this heart math, and I know you were saying you studied the Chinese medicine and stuff, are you learning to regulate your heart?
You do learn through heart math how to self-regulate your heart rhythm, something called heart rate variability. And you learn how to create order in the heart, which leads to system-wide order called physiological coherence. So absolutely, yes, I am very clear that that was the thing. Out of all the things I studied, all the things I tried, Chinese medicine was very helpful to me. It was the first thing that took away my pain, which is why I became a doctor of Oriental medicine. It was the first thing that gave me respite from my emotional and physical pain. But I would go see my doctor of Oriental medicine, get an acupuncture treatment, get some herbs. I'd feel better for a week, and then guess what? I'd need to go back again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was dependent on that. I still didn't have a self-empowered or self-referenced way to feel good when I wanted to.
Yeah.
It was heart math that gave me that power inside. So I didn't need anything else outside of me to rely on. And then the internal GPS of the heart would guide me, and still does on occasion, say, hey, you know, it would be really self-loving to go get some acupuncture right now. And I'm like, okay. So I get acupuncture now maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
But not necessarily because I need it, just because I get that signal from the heart early on, like, this would be a nice thing to do for yourself.
So if somebody is suffering from because I supposedly have a mild case of bipolar, could it take a whole nother turn if there's been a lot of tragedy? I've had a death of two parents and four animals in a 2-year span, and my daughter left home. So could that just kind of send you over the edge?
Oh, yeah.
To a new level, having that much loss, because it's worse than it's ever been in my life.
Well, first, allow me to say that I thank you so much for sharing your, you know, so vulnerably what's happening with you, and immediately, you know, I have chills and my heart goes out to you with care. And I can only imagine that much loss, what that's like, and so maybe we could all just take a moment and shift our attention to the heart. Just to put your focus of attention on the heart and radiate whatever in you felt compassion toward. What's your name? Just your first name, the person that
Kim.
Shared. Kim? We could just radiate compassion to Kim right now. The heart's right here to respond in this moment right now. We've all had our own, in some way or other, taste of loss. You could let your own experience of loss be a portal of care for Kim, compassion, and just see compassion feels good to you. Otherwise, it's not compassion, it's sympathy, and that's not That's overcare. That's chaotic.
Oh.
But compassion will feel good to you. It oils your system. It fuels your gas tank. Because it's care. And as care extends to you in this moment, Kim, you know, this is just it. We are a dynamic dialogue with our life experience, aren't we? So there's a lot of teachings out there and a lot of teachers that talk about the fact that stress is not our circumstances. It's not the events of life. It's our reaction to those events. And that's the good news. And at the same time, when you've experienced the depth and degree of loss that you have, if I had been through that and someone said to me, oh, well, don't worry, it's not your circumstances, you can change it from the inside, I would have punched them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, I have an answer to both of those questions. The first is, wow, that's a lot to deal with in a short time.
Yeah.
And the heart is, in my experience, so infinitely caring and compassionate and never makes unreasonable demands on us. So it sounds like a time to be very gentle with yourself and very understanding of emotions as they arise. And then ultimately, can the heart intelligence help us to overcome the physiological reaction to all that grief and all that loss? In my own personal experience, it can in some very beautiful ways, so that even those losses themselves, I 3 years ago held my father in my arms while he died of a heart attack, and it was the thing that I was most afraid of in life, and I was terrified. You know, one of the reasons I was most afraid of it, precisely because of what you're saying, Kim, because all the medical literature tells us, you know, when you go through stressful life events and traumas, it might detonate your genetic predisposition to bipolar or anxiety or depression. So I was almost as afraid, get this, of my own emotions.
Yeah.
As I was of losing my father. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences that I have ever had, losing him, even though it was the thing I was most afraid of, because I discovered that the heart was there for me in that. It was reliable. Everything that I had learned was there in that, and that when I accessed it, when I went to my heart, when I stopped myself each time I wanted to go into self-pity or grief, that I had lost my daddy, and turned that into gratitude that I had a father that I was upset to lose in the first place. Because I work with many people, let me tell you, who are not upset to lose their parents. They don't have parents they want to keep. But so I just would start appreciating my father, and magical things happened out of that. All of these severe challenges that we face, whether they're external life events, like the loss of a loved one or the loss of a precious pet or a big life change, or the internal challenges that we face, like a severe depression or anxiety that we can't place on anything, which sometimes is even harder.
Yeah.
If you know what's getting you down, at least you have an excuse. But for most of my upbringing and my teen years, I just felt depressed all the time, and I added to that a ton of self-judgment and guilt because I had no reason to. I had everything, as my parents reminded me, right? I had parents who loved me. I had enough food on my table. I had warm, beautiful clothing. I had a beautiful house to live in. I had ballet lessons. I had everything, and I was still anxious and depressed. No one ever stopped to say, oh, well, by the way, your anxiety and depression is partly coming from the fact that you just have this old survival mechanism inside you, mechanics, that are reacting to your school tests as if they're tigers. So it's really no big deal. You're not broken. We could just download an upgrade for that software in no time, and you'll be fine. No one said that to me. They said, you're broken. There must be something wrong with you that you feel so bad when you have no reason to. So sometimes that's even worse, right? Because if you know why, if you have had a loss, then it's you have more understanding and compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it's life events and traumas that we're reacting to, or just old survival patterns in our physiology that are triggering off of things that are not even worth reacting to and leave us in a state of bewilderment as to why we feel so bad. Either situation can become a leverage point for the value, beauty, power, and love of your heart to come through you and to the world. And that opens a whole new life, a whole new way of life for yourself, for those around you. I'm a perfect example of it. You know, there were many times through my teen years when my parents didn't think I would make it. And now they look at me, my mom, right, looks at me, and here I am in living a life of my dreams, truly, beyond my wildest dreams, and in the joy of being able to bring my joy to others.
Wow.
So whatever you're facing, I'm really just here to communicate that the heart can meet anything. And not only can it meet it, whatever gift wrapping your life has come in, whether it's the most glorious package with, you know, elegant Williams-Sonoma silver gift wrap and a gold bow, or if it's wrapped in the newsprint that somebody, your next door neighbor, used to train her dog, to potty train her dog, right? Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, the heart can unwrap that package and find the gift that you can be in it.
Sheva?
Yes.
First off, I want to say thank you for sharing so much of your personal story. Appreciate that. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Also, I want to say that I've learned something during this call. I've been following you for a while and trying to practice heart coherence. And I just had a lot happen in my life just recently. And I kept thinking to myself, I just need someone to love me. I need someone to be that presence in my life so that I can learn this and I can receive it so that I can give it. And I just realized that radiating, as you called it, or sending that love and care to someone else is the same thing as receiving it. And so every time I feel like I need that, I need someone to be in my life, I need someone to say the right thing, I need someone to send their heart coherence towards me, whatever it is, that I have that when I send it out to someone else. So now, when I feel like I need that, I'm going to find someone to send it out to.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
In sending it out to this wonderful lady who's also been sharing, I'm so sorry, I'm so bad with names.
Kim. That was Kim. Yeah.
Kim, thank you for sharing. And sending that out to her, I felt it within myself. And I was just like, wow, that's it. So I feel so grateful for that. And
this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely going to look for people to love.
And don't forget that you can also send it to yourself.
Oh, I hadn't
thought. This is beautiful. This is it. This is your own heart intelligence discovered and responding already to life. It's right there in all of you. You know, I love it when people come to my trainings because it lets me go through the process myself and extend my heart to you, which is my greatest joy. And the truth is, and I'm a terrible salesperson, no one ever needs to go through my trainings. There you go. You just heard this young woman, Becky, right? It's right there in you. This is who you are. And so I'd like to close the call tonight by coming back to that. And just taking a moment to drop your attention again into your own heart. Knowing that sending love is receiving love. That's it. That we could have summed up the whole call just in what you said. That was so eloquent, so beautiful.
It's receiving love.
Sending love is receiving love because of the impact it has on your physiology. The beauty is HeartMath has given us the science that makes this so real. But what makes it even more real is your own direct experience of it. So in this moment right now, because we complete these Heart Start calls always by paying it forward, I want to invite you to take a moment to radiate your love, your care, your compassion to someone, maybe someone you heard on the call tonight, maybe someone in your own life that could benefit from that, someone you care about. Just in this moment, extend your heart, your care, your love to them. And then see what it's like to take that same love, that same care, that same compassion, and extend it to yourself. And see if there's any difference at all. They can't do brain transplants, but they can do heart transplants, even though the heart forms before the brain. And it's who we point to when we point to ourselves. The most deep essence of who we are at the core of our heart is interchangeable.
Oh.
It's a point of connection with all of us. And sending love to yourself is sending it to another. And receiving love is giving love.
Okay,
so thank you all for receiving my love tonight, because that gives me the greatest joy and love in my life. And I welcome your questions, your own stories. Again, you can send them to me at Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like Elephant, V like Victory, A, at Sierra, F like Fantastic, YERA.com. You can call me at 310-581-1507. We do these Heart Start calls every Monday night from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And they are recorded. This call has been recorded. If you'd like to listen to it in the next week or refer it to a friend, it will be available at 641-985-5108, access code 992-522-pound. I'll repeat that. For the next week up until November 19th, this call will be available at 641-985-5108, access code 992-522-pound. And then after that, it will be at some point in a week or two uploaded to the Sierra website, where you can access all of our previously recorded calls for free, download them to your iPod. Pretty soon here we're going to instigate podcasting so that these calls can go straight to you as a podcast. You can listen to them on your hikes or laying in bed, and you can access those previously recorded calls online by going to fiera.com/heartstart.html. And on the homepage of our fiera.com website, if you're not receiving call info for these weekly calls and you'd like to, you can sign up for our email list. And you can also sign up for the first night of our beginner webinar, which is free. And the next one of those is on Tuesday, December 4th, also from 5 to 6:30 p.m. So thank you all so much for joining me again tonight. I send you much love through the Verizon network. And have a beautiful night, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Sheva.
Thank you.